know, when we think about coming to the table, I have a confession to make. And I don't mean to go from the serious to the sublime or the crazy here, but I do have a confession. I love food. I really do. And I'm not just talking about eating huge amounts of food. I love the seemingly endless, just the endless catalog of sights and sounds and smells and tastes of food. I love it. Are you hungry yet? I love the different textures and the taste that food bring to my taste buds. I just love it. But one of the things that we're going to just wrap up this year with is in that the baby born in a manger came because the world was and still is groaning, waiting for final redemption. And you might be saying, well, but Pastor Dan, what does that have to do with food? But here it is. One of the reasons that you and I groan is that you and I are spiritually hungry. All of the things that we have consumed, not just food, but all the things that we have been involved with, all the things that we have bought, all the things that we have sought for to somehow fill an empty void in our lives have not and cannot satisfy us. They just can't. We have been eating. But what we have taken in has left us empty. If you're physically starving, you will groan. But spiritual starvation as well makes you groan. So here is the good news of the Christmas story. The birth of Jesus is the invitation to the best, most satisfying dinner ever. You know, when it comes to food, the Bible is definitely not void of the topic. In fact, feeding the hungry was one of the ways that Jesus really reached in and touched the hearts and lives of many, many people when he walked on the earth. And so as we look at this area, as we look at the birth of Christ, it is an invitation to finally have your spiritual belly, your spiritual heart, your spiritual mind filled with the most beautiful, hunger-satisfying food ever, ever given. The promise of satisfying spiritual food. Listen to this passage in Psalm 22. It says this, "The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever." The afflicted in that text refers to, it means poor. One of the harshest realities of poverty is hunger, and we are very aware of that. But sin makes us spiritually poor, and God promises and has promised and will promise to complete this one thing, that he will satisfy our hunger. Amen? The passage that I just read in Isaiah 55, the invitation to a feast that is there, and be satisfied. And again, come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labors on what does not satisfy? Listen, the Lord says, to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest affair. The text itself speaks of two things. Number one, it speaks of an invitation to eat spiritually satisfying food that someone else has already paid for, that being Jesus Christ. And secondly, there's an exhortation, if you will, a teaching in the form of a question that says, basically it's telling us in a question form, quit eating what can't satisfy you. Stop. You know, in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, it's one of the times when Jesus fed the 5,000. You're familiar with the story? And Jesus feeds the 5,000 men and then their wives and family with them. And so there was much, much more than 5,000. But it's an incredible, satisfying, miraculous meal that is performed on that particular day. And Jesus does it with nothing more than a boy's lunch. But here's the crazy thing. The people missed the point. They missed the point. They saw this miraculous thing happen in front of their very eyes, but they missed the point that Jesus was trying to make. Even though the crowd had been miraculously fed, here's the deal about being hungry. You're going to get hungry again, right? Okay, some of you had breakfast, some of you didn't today, but when you get home, you're going to be hungry again. And Pastor Dan is making you more hungry by talking about food again and again. But here's the deal. You long to be physically hungry is to hunger again and again. But later in that same text in John chapter 6, Jesus says these words to his disciples and his followers, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but by the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." In John 6:27, basically Jesus is saying here, "I am the only one who can give you food that will truly satisfy your hunger, and I will do it forever." He is the only food that satisfies. In Luke chapter 22, he said he took bread with his disciples and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In John chapter 6, he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The birth of Jesus, my friends, as we wrap up this year. And again, the reason I'm just highlighting this is because how do we live the birth of the birth of Christ from here on out? It's not just a one-time event. How do we live it? How do we celebrate it? How do we embrace it every day of our lives, what God did for us that day when he sent Jesus Christ? It's not just an invitation to the best dinner ever, but it's also the delivery of the food that will be served. Jesus is the food, folks. He is that food. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" Did you hear that? Folks, it's what we're all looking forward to. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, "These are the true words of God." This morning, my friends, as we prepare for our time of communion, and our family Sunday really revolves around two major things that we want to practice and uphold in our church. And number one is communion. It is our public identity to what Jesus Christ has done for us. It is us personally together corporately saying we are here because of what Jesus Christ and Christ alone has done. Amen. It is his grace, by his grace, that we have been set free. It is by his grace that we have been invited into the family of God. And as a family of God, this is our opportunity to acknowledge his death, which was required in our place. We are invited to that celebratory dinner. We are invited, even in Revelations, to the dinner, which acknowledges, which is written in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only the food that satisfies, but he is the sacrifice that paid the price for you and I today. So I'm going to invite my guys that are going to distribute today, if they would come and take their place here. And we're going to do something a little bit different during our time. We're going to have just some music that accompanies during the passing of the bread and then later the cup. And I just want you to just reflect, to give time, to give thanks to the Lord for all that He is and all that He has done for you. And as we're preparing today, folks, the message that we've shared is simple, and yet it is very profound. And here it is, folks. Jesus Christ is the food that satisfies. But the most important thing, folks, it's not the partaking of this today that makes you right with God. This is for you and I, the believer, to say, God, thank you for making us right through Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today, maybe you're visiting, and you're a believer, you are more than welcome to share with us, to identify with us in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to extend this invitation to you. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the food of eternal life, for your own personal Savior, for your personal Savior, the one who loves you and died for you to pay the price for your sins so that you might be made right with God, so that you would have eternal life. In the quietness of your heart as we participate today, receive Him. Accept the food that's been extended to you, the invitation that's been given. I'd like to ask John Wickander if he would give thanks for the sacrifice of Christ's body.